Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax. Let me tell you the story of the fish wheels that are making a comeback. Not to scoop fish out of the river by the ton and pack them into little flat cans, like was done not too many years ago. This time, actually, fish wheels are here to save the fish. This story was first published on November 1st, 2008, under the headline, Fish Wheels Making a Comeback to Save Fish. Here we go. Fish wheels have a bad reputation, but they may be making a comeback in a somewhat different role. For about the last 10,000 years, Indian tribe members have taken big nets to bits of the Columbia River where the water runs fast and deep, and used them to scoop out salmon dinners. When the industrialized Europeans came in the mid-1800s, they knew a good idea when they saw it, and the Indians were catching so much salmon so quickly, so some enterprising Europeans quickly realized that they could make a killing scooping out fish, canning them up, and selling them cheap. But not being inclined to stand around on fishing platforms as the sun beat down on them, they mechanized the method. And thus the fish wheel came to the Columbia. It's a sort of like a paddle wheel with baskets at the tips, with a wooden flume built downstream to divert a big cross-section of river into its path. The current turns the wheel, the baskets scoop out the fish, which are carried through the flume, and the cannery built nearby puts them all into neat little flat cans. Just to give you an idea how many fish these things scooped out of the river. One, built in 1887, about 5 miles north of the Dalles, pulled 418,000 pounds of fish out of the river in 1906 alone. By that time, there were more than 75 others like it lining the shores of the river where it ran fast. Meanwhile, fleets of gill netters based out of little fishing towns near Astoria were also pulling vast numbers of fish out of the lower Columbia where the water runs slow and deep, to be processed at canneries down there. Not surprisingly, the operators started noticing the catches dwindling as the early 1900s wore on, but the response was to blame each other for the fading of the fishery. No one yet realized it was actually a collapse they were dealing with, and perhaps it wasn't yet. The two groups, fish wheel operators and gill netters, sponsored competing ballot measures in 1908, one banning fish wheels and the other virtually banning gill netting. Both measures passed, but both were blocked from enforcement by the courts. Nice to see that some things haven't changed in 100 years, isn't it? By 1926, it was clear the fish were pretty much gone, and the state legislature hastened to slam the barn door after the horse by banning the fish wheels. Gill netters soldiered on. A greatly diminished fleet still plies the waters of the lower Columbia, but the catch is relatively paltry. A huge blow was dealt to the already suffering fishery just a few years later when the Grand Coulee Dam was built without fish ladders, cutting off a lot of fish from their spawning grounds. Today, most of the fish caught in the Columbia are raised in commercial hatcheries. But the fish wheel may be due for a comeback. On the Okanagan River, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is using fish wheels to count fish, not to can them. The baskets scoop juvenile fish out of the water without snaring or hooking them, and because it all happens so fast, they don't have much chance to hurt themselves flailing around in an underwater net. Once on deck, they can be logged, tagged with tiny electronic tags, and sent on their way to the ocean, none the worse for wear, or at least not very much the worse. It's a really interesting new and positive role for an old technology that many people think is responsible for a goodly share of the collapse of the biggest salmon fishery on the west coast of North America. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and also links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to join the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include the OHS Oregon History Project, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, in the Northwest Power and Conservation Council. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. AtlasStringBand.com. All these columns are covered under Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatoregon.com/cc. So you coming to Carvallis anytime soon? Drop me a line if you are. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. We can get together and grab a cup of coffee. Well, that's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.